Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we have been waiting and anticipating for a whole week for this show, and I'm very excited. Hi, Tasila, how are you today?
Hello, I'm feeling love.
Feeling
I'm
love.
Doing very good.
All right.
Yeah.
And you are indeed loved. That's for
okay.
Sure. And I'm excited. I'm excited about our program today. Two of our favorite people is going to be on the show today, and I'm very excited about it. So right now, I'd like for everybody to pick up your phones or grab your computers and inbox your friends and family, text them, whatever you have to do, but encourage them to dial in right now. And our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila or the link. You can just click on the link or click on our picture, wherever you see the post for this particular show. And you can listen to it from your computer when you do that. If you see the post on Facebook, click on our picture or the link, or on LinkedIn, Alignable, Instagram, Tumblr, or Twitter. Just click on the link and listen from your computer. And by the way, follow me on Instagram and Twitter, T. Meyer McCain. Go ahead and follow me, okay? We'll tell you about our special guest.
Don't forget to tell them if they have any questions to send them to christiantalkr@gmail.com.
Yes, if you have any questions, either about the show or just some questions in general about the things of the Lord, ask us, send us an email, and we will answer you. We'll get back to you. If you want to leave a phone number, we'll even call you. So whatever you like to do, it's up to you. We're here for you. Just want you to know that. Before we tell you about our special guest, there's something we have to do. And Tasila, you know what that is. It is time for a TNT moment. So let's get started. Pastor Tasila, what do we have for today?
Well, like I said, I feel love. Today is February, and it's the month of love, the month we celebrate and acknowledge love at least. And one may ask, so shouldn't we love all year and each day? Most definitely.
Yeah.
But just like Jesus'
yes,
birthday may or may not be in December, we choose December 25th to celebrate and honor him.
Yeah.
And what would the world be without Christmas? Boring. But even so, the world without love is the full expression of darkness and void. So, in 1 John 4:8 says, void because God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. How do you explain God's love? Well, God's relentless, loyal love arrives in Jesus, and his affection for us drives him to give us the ultimate act of loyal love in his life, death, and resurrection. And now, abide in faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of the three, or all of these, is love. Jesus said in John 15:13, so this is my command, love each other deeply, so much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friend, willing to lay down his soul for his friends. And in the Aramaic, Pastor T, it says, the word for friend is actually a family member or relative. In this day of selfies that we all know, everybody is self-centered and full of taking pictures of themselves and whatever they say and do is the best. And in this day of self-centeredness, I never thought to see or hear what I heard yesterday, February 1st, 2022. I won't forget it. And it was from a beautiful, spirited millennial gentleman who sat before both of us, and he was fulfilling the scripture of greater love. His family, one of his family members, was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and was in need of a donor, and he had a heart of love to present himself as a donor. He matched and also fulfilled the scripture of real love, you know, the greater love of sacrificing his own life for a friend or a loved one. And we all know that there are different levels of love, but Jesus himself referred to this as being the greatest. Now I am speaking spiritual and selfless love. I'm talking about that type of love. And that is a type of love that's the real model for humanity that Jesus was talking about. Like I just mentioned, there is all level of loves, though, because there's amorous, in love, or affected with love. There's puppy love. There's enamored, which is totally in love. Infatuations as an unreasoning love or attraction. Love is large and incredibly patient. It's gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous. When blessings come to someone else, it does not brag about your own achievements, nor inflicts its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishness. It doesn't seek its own. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. It doesn't stare at evil, but it is very joyful. It celebrates honestly and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops living. Love your brethren as your own self. That's one of Jesus's commandments to us all, not to just love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Make him your first love. All your might, all your power, all your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. These are things that if you do, you won't fail. Amen, Brother T?
Amen. I love the way you broke that down because God's love, the pure, perfect, and holy love. And then, you know, Pastor Tasila, there's a worldly love. And worldly love always falls short. You know, since the fall of man, we now have to learn how to love properly because our worldly love is really corrupt. In America, our definition of love is sex or thug love, homosexual and lesbian love, the love of a pimp toward his prostitute and vice versa, puppy love, you mentioned that, and, you know, which is young love. Young love is when couples want to be joined at the hip. They're not in love, they're in lust. And many people have gotten married out of lust, not love. Many people have even contracted many diseases, different types of diseases, and have died from AIDS and other STDs because of being in lust instead of truly being in love. Most often, love is confused with infatuation, and I notice you mentioned that also. You know that infatuation, that elated high feeling we get when we are attracted to someone, we sometimes make the mistake thinking that that's true love. But all of these kinds of counterfeit love are deceptions. The infatuation kind of love lasts typically less than a year. And unless replaced by true love, the result is a broken relationship and a broken heart. Worldly love is conditional. Mm-hmm. It is based on how others or how our so-called soulmate behave toward us. You see, this worldly love is conditional because it says, if you don't act right, then I'm out. You know, it's over. That's conditional love, and conditional love is selfish. It's selfishness. Mm-hmm. There's always an unbalance when it comes to worldly love. Always. In a relationship, there's always an unbalance with worldly love, because with worldly love, it's selfish. That means that someone always loves the other more than the other loves them. It's an unbalance. That's why someone always gets hurt, or someone leaves or just abandons the relationship because they're bored, or they don't want to play house anymore. They want to go down the street and see what's happening. Go on the other yard to see if the grass is greener, you know. Or they want to have their cake and eat it too, and that's what makes them be unfaithful and sneaky. Then you have some women, not all women, mind you, but some women, for fear of just being alone, they'll go ahead and settle for a man that says, I love you. He said, I love you, so they'll just settle for that, whether they're in love with the man or not. They just don't want to be alone, and they know deep down inside that this person really doesn't love them. But still, they will keep him around simply because they need love. So they hope that someday this man will change and eventually love them, but that never happens. So what follows? A broken heart. Time wasted on a selfish man, someone who doesn't care and never did and never will. But God's love, and I love how you spoke of God's love, it builds you up. He gives you a never-dying love, an unconditional love. God's love always provides life for us. Even in John 3:16, as it is written, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It is because he loved the world that he gave us Jesus. We must learn to love the world the way God loves the world. Let me repeat that. We have to learn to love the world the way God loves the world. He loves us so much that he gives. God loved each one of us before we loved him. He gave his love to us first, and he continually gives us his love, although many times he is rejected by the people of the world. Adam loved Eve. That's why he called her woman, because she was taken out from him, and he named her Eve. He called her woman, but named her Eve because she was to become the mother of all living. Adam loved her with the love of God, and we are to do the same. We are to love our spouses, as it is written for you husbands to do in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. This is a real deep love. and gave himself for it. So I ask you, would you give yourself for your wife? And if you say yes, then think about it before you say yes, because sometimes when you do, when you have your little selfish things that you do, you're not giving yourself. Think about it. We are to love our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, all of our family members, distant relatives as well. We are to love the church and, believe it or not, even strangers. We are to love them all with the love of God. But we are to first love God with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Even with the Ten Commandments, the first part of the Ten Commandments is based on loving God, and the second part is based on loving mankind. And if you don't have that kind of love for God in you, then ask him for it, and he will give it to you. If you desire to love him, Lord, I want to love you more, he'll give it to you. Because it is very important that we love each other in this hour. Love is the key. As it is written in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth, that means to continually love the Lord and continually love, is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. If you don't have love for people, then you do not love God. So don't lie to yourself. For God is love. Even when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. When it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, love is first. Because all of the fruit of the Spirit is the offspring of love. Therefore, it is an offspring of God because, yes, God is love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. The entire ministry of Jesus Christ was love. Jesus showed forth the full expression of God's love toward his people and to whoever would receive it. And it is still that way today. God loves us. True love will free us from condemnation by covering a multitude of sins. And we will see that when we walk in love, everything in your life seems to work out. It seems to come together, as it is written in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We are loved by God, and we are called for his peculiar purpose. Therefore, we must love him and love him first and then love each other. We can go on and on, Pastor Tosila, with this subject, but I think I'll stop for right now. Okay, that's it for the TNT moment. Don't go away because we will be right back with our special guest after this. Praise the Lord.
You've changed my heart forever. I'll never be the same. My love for you, like dust on my shoes, will never wash away. And if we never meet again in this crazy life, I know just where you'll be. And I will meet you under the mango tree, way up in the sky. I will meet you when pain is no more. Faithfulness were the greatest gifts you gave. And if we chains to bear, we will be set free. No more tears of pain or loss of family. No more sin or strife at the mango tree. No more death or war or suffering to see. No more chains to bear.
Hallelujah. That beautiful song that you just, when you were just listening to, is our special guest today, Russell and Sarah Palmer. Palmer Praise. That's what they're giving us today. That's our special guest. That was beautiful. We're going to talk about how the Lord's hand is continually with their family. Both Sarah and Russell have such a love for music, and they work together as one in glorifying the Lord with their gifts. They complement each other with their writing styles, their voices. You know, as Russell, he has that rich, and I love this, that rich, graspy, soulful voice. And Sarah has that sweet, angelic voice, you know, and it makes a perfect blend. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Russell and Sarah Palmer.
Yay! Woo, woo, woo!
Everybody's clapping, even though you may not be able to hear it, Russell and Sarah. But they're there, and they're clapping for you, and you know, and we're happy to have you on the program. How are you guys doing?
Hi, guys. We're doing great.
Hey, thank you. Those were very kind words.
It was all true, man. Been playing your song on our other radio program, and it's a blessing, and we're going to talk about some of your songs because we want you to really tell us a little bit more about the songs and things. But a lot's been going on, so go ahead. Let's go ahead and start off. You know what? Let's start off with Sarah. Sarah, we're going to start off with you. What's been going on? Talk to us.
Oh boy, just a lot of good stuff. I think this past week was really encouraging for Russell and I because we went to kind of a evangelism type series, and it was just basically the gospel and how it applies to our lives personally. And it's just so uplifting. And with you guys talking about how to love and be loved and knowing God's love, that really hit home because that's basically the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So we are coming into this week feeling very filled by the Spirit and by the love of God, and it's a good place to be.
That's
yes.
True.
Great place.
Yeah,
to be.
Because we had a hard week a couple weeks ago before all this, and we really needed to be uplifted by our community. First, Russell was terminated from his job, actually. And then a few days later, our little boy, Sully, who just turned 2, he was jumping on a trampoline and broke his leg. And we didn't know he broke his leg at the time. He just kind of fell down and started crying. He didn't fall off the trampoline. He just fell on the regular part while he was bouncing. And so I didn't even consider that he would have broken something. but he cried so hard that he turned blue and passed out in my arms and stopped breathing. And now I know it was a pain response, but at the time I thought, did the wind get knocked out of him? What happened? He, like, stopped breathing and went limp in my arms, and so that was terrifying, and I had to give him a couple breaths, and one of my friends kind of sweeped his mouth to see if he was choking, and he woke up. So, praise God, he's safe and he is okay.
I'm sure you didn't have no idea that most of your doctrine would be used in your home.
I know. I said my husband and then my son. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's something.
For some of our listeners that didn't hear your testimony before when you were on the show, can you briefly kind of go over a little bit of that, of what happened with Russell, or would you rather Russell tell that part?
I can, if he's okay with that.
Okay.
So last March, almost a year ago, Russell called me while I was at work and said, I'm having chest pain. My left arm hurts. I'm having a hard time breathing. And I said, I think you're having a heart attack. And he said, I think I'm having a heart attack. And I told him to call 911. And he said, no, come get me. I don't want to call an ambulance because I don't have insurance. And so he's 36 years old. It was shocking to think this could even possibly be happening. But I rushed home.
Yeah.
And I saw him sitting on the couch, pale and sweaty, and I knew that this was reality. Like, he really was having a heart attack. And so, praise God, we were able to get him to the hospital. I drove him there, and it was only 7 minutes from our house, and called in on the way to see if anybody would be able to be ready for him coming in. And I said, I'm a provider at the hospital, and I'm bringing in my husband, who I believe is having a heart attack. Please have somebody waiting for us. And because I called in, they were able to get somebody out of the cath lab, which is the cardiac room where they can put stents in. And they were able to get this other guy off the table to make room for Russell so that he was able to get in there very quickly and get a stent placed in an artery that they had determined to be 100% blocked, his widowmaker artery.
Wow.
So it was clearly a miracle. He should not have made it to the hospital. He should have died at home before I even reached him. But we believe wholeheartedly that God kept his heart beating and saved his life that day.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Wow.
Life, yeah.
Yes. And part of my testimony, the last, yeah, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the testimony was that Russell's faith was so sincere. He was asking for God to deliver him, fully believing that God would on the way to the hospital. And my prayer was one of doubt. God, are you seeing this? Where are you? And are you still here? Is kind of what I was saying to myself. And I was in kind of a spiritual low at the time and feeling like if Russell had died, my faith would have died along with him. And praise God, since then, I have had a total change of heart as well as Russell's change of heart. We kind of went through this together, but I have been able to find that my faith is in God and not in my husband and release kind of an idol type relationship that I had with my husband and put God back on the throne of my heart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was beautiful revelation.
Yeah. I was wondering how you handled all of this. Were you cool, calm, collected, you know, during all of this or what was going on and you're sharing what was happening on the inside of you, you know, probably on the outside, you know, you were doing your regular thing as, you know, being in the medical field and everything. So, but on the inside was some things going on. Now, was Russell, afterwards, did you share all of that? I'm sure you shared all of that with how you were feeling with Russell. after, pretty much after it was over,
yeah,
right?
Did once we were yeah. home. Initially, I was just kind of in focus, fight or flight type of mode. And thanks to my training and my background, some of it is just kind of automatic. So I was able to just go into healthcare mode and think things through in a very logical way. And that was just thanks to my training and my background. But later, I didn't sleep for like 2 or 3 days. I had all this adrenaline that wouldn't leave my body from it being such a crazy traumatic event. And I feel like the underlying emotion that I had was fear. So a lot of my reaction was driven by fear, which my worst fear at the time was my husband dying. And so that almost came true. And I was just living out of that fear and a lot of anxiety for many days afterward. And then the doubt creeping in of like, do I believe God would have saved him for me? Or, you know, I just couldn't really grasp how I felt even toward God about this whole event, whether it was a miracle, which is what we were saying it was, or if it could be explained medically. And I was just kind of in a weird place.
Yeah, I can imagine so. It would put you, seeing it right in your face, you know, you can tell people what happened, but unless they were there and they actually saw it, that's a whole different thing. You experienced all of this, and the person that you love dearly, so I imagine it's pretty rough, pretty tough, you know. And it's a good thing you kept your... Go ahead. Pastor Tosila, were you getting ready to say something?
No, I was just about to ask her, did Sully hit his leg on the bar of the trampoline, you know, the part that the metal that holds everything together? Did he come off of it and hit his leg on there?
I don't believe so. I was watching him the whole time, and I think what happened was he just twisted his own leg underneath him. The fracture is kind of right above his ankle area. And I think he was jumping. Oh. There were a couple other kids jumping with him, so maybe they had made him unbalanced or something, and I think he just landed wrong on his own leg. Very bizarre how that happened. But the amazing thing this time is Sully almost, we thought he almost died because he turned blue and totally pale and limp. Back before when Russell almost died, I was so unsure and my faith was so lacking. But because I had spent months preparing my heart after Russell's whole heart attack adventure, I was in a totally different place with my faith. And this event with Sully did not move me at all. My anxiety did not return. I still had peace and faith in my God. And it was another test, but it was so different. How I felt in my relationship with God was so different this time. And I just felt, like, so secure in my faith with him.
Wow, and, you know, that's something, too, because when it comes to your baby, and you saw him turn blue and pass out, you know, women, you know, that's my baby. They would have been going crazy. But your faith in God was really built up. That's a miracle right there.
That was a miracle. Yeah, because that would not have been me months ago.
Isn't that something else? God works on us to build us to that point. That's his strength in us.
Absolutely.
And that's the power and strength that we all want to operate from all the time. We want to get out of ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to operate in us, to even to death. And you had 2 death experiences. And that's what the Lord says, love not your life, even to the death. And you're trusting him in both things. That's really interesting, and I'm happy. Those are things that real Christians go through, you know, that come close to death. Once Pastor T passed out also, And
oh, really?
He woke up to me. Yeah, he was on the floor. He woke up to me screaming in tongues in his face because that's all I had. I didn't have anything.
Yeah, I woke
so
up with her. That's it. Yeah, and I really didn't realize what happened. I just found myself on the floor, and when my eyes opened and her hand on my head, and she's praying in tongues and going at it, and strength came to my body, and I got right up, and it was fine.
Wow.
So that was
praise God.
That was, yeah. I mean, faith is something, man. Faith is very, having faith in God is very strong. It's great. It's great. So
yes.
God is moved by our faith. He's moved by
yes.
our faith
and
in him.
Faith is a substance also.
Yes.
It's a substance. Mm-hmm. So, Sarah,
and that's what
last time once we were talking to you and you were talking about robotic surgery, and I wanted to I'm sure the audience wants to know because everything is headed towards that. And I wanted to know, how does that operate? Everything is going towards robots and noise. And
yeah, I feel like a lot of surgery already is robotic. So my job, I'm a physician assistant, and my job right now is to something called first assist. So basically, it's me and a surgeon doing surgery on people, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to do a lot of different types of procedures. And a lot of them are robots. So we'll do weight loss surgeries like sleeve gastrectomy and gastric bypass. And we'll do hysterectomies, which is taking your uterus out. We do all that with the robot now.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's kind of like an old-fashioned. It's like a laparoscopy, kind of, where you make small incisions, and then there's a port where the instruments can go in.
With a camera on the end.
Yeah, with a camera on the end or like little graspers and stuff that go into these ports. But the ports are now attached to a robot arm. And so I'll put the instruments in, attach them to the robot, and then the surgeon will actually sit at a little computer console type thing, and he'll operate the robot, but not next to the patient. It's kind of wild.
Wow.
So he's not touching
they're like
the
3 or 4
he's
feet away.
Yeah. Uh-huh. 3 or 4 feet away. He's just on a machine and he can see 3D in there, see really, really well and move the robot arms to do the surgery.
And so is that like little arms on the camera that goes in the incision?
No, it's like there's like 4 different ports that we'll put in. So one has a camera.
Okay.
And then the other 3 arms will have like scissors or, stitch or other stuff that we'll put in there.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's really neat.
So all the instruments are on the inside operating from the outside.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And I think in the future, because you have to have somebody with the patient. That's why my job is I stay sterile and I stay with the patient. But I think the goal is in the future is you can do this remotely. So you have a surgeon or somebody skilled with the patient at whatever hospital. But like let's say you have the top cardiologist in the country that can connect wirelessly from another state and control the robot and do surgery on somebody that's not even in the same state. I think that's the future of this whole thing.
Wow. That is
Interesting.
Or maybe be used to help military people overseas, something like that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that has been hurt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we are further into the AI than we think.
I know.
And that is
pretty wild.
Part.
Yeah.
And, I think technology is good if it's used for the good and not evil. When you're using it for evil to, like, quantum leap entanglement, and stuff like that with other humans and frequencies and, you know, electronic frequencies through other human beings, you know, body hookups through the internet and all that, I think that's evil because we're supposed to remain the way God intended for us to, you know. But when you're using it to help bring health, you know, in a healthy way like that, and that's the thing that we kind of know prophetically that all these things were going to come, but how are we going to use them? You know, are we going to use them for good or for evil? And, and I'm happy to hear about that part because everything is not bad all the time. When people hear about robots and all that and robotic surgery and all that stuff, you know, it's not always bad. You know, the medical people talk
and
about.
And these robots are friendly. No, it's not artificial intelligence. The robot is controlled by a human person, so it's not operating on its own. But I don't know if that is the future. That would be interesting.
Oh, definitely it is. A lot of people in college now are studying about that and coming into it. And I think it's a new wave. And like you said, it could be done across the world now. You don't have to be necessarily there to do the surgery. That is. That's very good. This is used for good consistently.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, we know some other things that people are doing with them also that's not too good. But praise the Lord, you're on the good end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great job. I love what I do.
I know. It's very interesting. I have to say that. Very interesting. Interesting work. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I played that first song by you and Russell, and it's called Mango Tree, can you tell me a little story about it? Russell can pitch in, too, on this part. Tell me a little, tell us about the song and how did it come about? Where were you at this time? In other words, frame of mind, the whole works in writing and producing this song.
So the song actually was about a trip that we took to Uganda in 2019. Russell was a middle school teacher at the time, and he was teaching something called real world learning, where the children had to come up with proactive ways to help humanity. So what they decided upon as a group was to help refugees in the Denver area, and this sparked an interest in understanding where the refugees come from, and they started getting interested in overseas stuff, and they decided to go on a mission trip to Uganda and actually help the refugees there in real life. And so it was the first time middle schoolers had ever been on a trip like this out of the country, and every single student was had to bring a parent with them. So it was quite a large group. I think 35 people ended up coming. And we made it to a refugee camp in Uganda. It was called Kiryandongo, which was one of the largest, I think, refugee camps in the entire country. 175,000 refugees were in this one place. A lot of them were from Sudan. Yeah. And we were able to set up a mission in one of the communities there where we did kind of like a Bible school type thing for the children with songs and crafts and games and interaction. And then we built a basketball court and most of a school structure. And we built a church. And then we employed some of the people there to help build things. And then I set up a little medical clinic under a mango tree. And the mango tree was in the center of this community, and it was one of the few places that had shade, and this is where a lot of the community members would gather just to hang out. And we did our little medical clinic there for the 2 weeks that we were there. And then on the way back, Russell wrote this song.
Hey, T. Meyer. I'll jump in.
Hey, Russell.
I started writing it on the trip. I remember in the bus, we took buses to the camp every day. And literally everything we did was under this giant mango tree. Our vacation Bible school, music, Sabbath school, church, Sarah's medical clinic, games, everything, dancing was under the mango tree. And as we approached the end of our time there, we were there 2 weeks, I knew it was going to break the hearts of my middle school students and everyone, their parents and Sarah and I. We just grew to love these people, especially the kids, so much. And so I thought of a phrase that all my kids could say as they said goodbye to these refugee children that they grew to love so much. I mean, we played with them for 2 weeks. While Sarah was busy running a medical clinic, we were playing music and games with these kids where you could just hear the laughter and the singing for miles across the camp. So we were falling in love with these kids, and I thought of a phrase that might help these kids, my middle school students, to say goodbye. So I said, as you guys, on our last day, as you guys are hugging these kids goodbye, I want you to tell them that if I don't see you again on this earth, then I'll meet you under the mango tree in heaven. And that will be the biggest mango tree that will stretch for miles and miles and miles, and we'll all be there laughing and rejoicing and singing and sitting at Jesus' feet under the mango tree. And so I started to, as I said that and the kids said their goodbyes, very, very beautiful and tearful goodbyes. Every single one of those students said, I'll meet you under the mango tree in heaven. And so in the bus ride back, I started to hear the tune for that song with that lyric as the chorus. And I finished writing it when we got back, that the main thing is we may not see those kids again. I mean, we hope to go back to Uganda. We may not see these refugees ever again though. So our theme is, well, I'll meet you in heaven, and we can meet. We'll know exactly where to meet, under the mango tree with the most delicious mangoes we've ever tasted in our lives.
That's beautiful.
The
man.
Juiciest mangoes.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one of our parents, the parents of one of my students, his dad started to go into poor health and went into the hospital actually while we were there. And right when we got back, he was dying. And this father, his name's Hoku, he got to be by his father's side and before he died. And before he died, he told his dad that those words. He said, Dad, I'll meet you under the mango tree in the sky, in heaven. And so since we got back, that song has kind of been a theme for anyone who has lost a loved one or someone that you won't be reunited with on this earth, but you know you'll be reunited with in heaven. So that song has kind of become a song of hope and a theme of hope for not just us missing our loved ones in Kiriandongo, but for those who have lost loved ones.
Yeah.
We say all this under the mango tree in the sky.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, have any of the people in Uganda, have they heard this song since you finished it? Did you send it to anyone there or whatever?
I haven't heard it. I left them my guitar, my first guitar I brought out with the intention of of giving it to them at the camp because I knew they wouldn't have a guitar, but and that was a guitar that was given to me. So it was very special to give that to them. So they have my first guitar there at the Kiriandongo refugee camp, but I have not sent them that song. I need to find some old email addresses and reach out to them. But we hope to go back someday if it's God's will.
Yeah. Now, you guys were only there for 2 weeks?
2 weeks. We got a lot done in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You got a lot done in 2 weeks. That is something.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And we didn't build the school before we left, but we left all the supplies to build a school. And then it was built, and that school is finished now. But we ran a medical clinic with Sarah leading out. We ran an optometry clinic. We brought an optometrist who brought glasses for hundreds of people. We ran a sports camp. We brought 75 soccer balls, volleyballs, and basketballs, 75 each. And we knew that they would know soccer, so they taught us soccer. But we got to teach them volleyball, football. Oh, we brought 75 footballs also. And then we just had this vision of building them a basketball court, which none of them had ever played basketball. And to most of us who went, you know, ball is life for us. So basketball was very important to us. So we wanted to share something that we loved with them. And they played on it immediately. And we got to teach them how to play basketball. And these dudes are tall. They're, you know, natural ball players.
Yeah.
And then we finished building a church and left all the materials to build a school, which has since been built.
Wow. Now, have you guys done anything like that since? So maybe somewhere else? Have you guys?
No, we had Sully, and then the pandemic hit, and we haven't. But mission trips are very near and dear to our hearts. We have both been on multiple mission trips. Sarah's been to Guatemala and Peru before Uganda, and I actually went to Guatemala around the same time she did, but that was before that we met. So that was something we talked about the first day that we met, was that we both loved mission work and that we had both been to Guatemala. And then I've been to Fiji on a mission trip, and then so Uganda was our third mission trip, or fourth. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go again, God willing.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be something to go and see how your work has flourished with the church and the school, you know, and and the medical facilities and all of that.
You never get to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just
our goal was summer of 2022. This summer, the group was wanting to get back if any of these travel restrictions and COVID stuff can lighten up. That's our goal is this summer to go back.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Anybody out there listening? Because we have worldwide listeners, you know, pray for them so that they'll be able to go back, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church is supposed to continue moving forward, healing the sick, raising the dead, and doing all the works Jesus did. We're not supposed to stop because of anything. We must continue to move forward, because I feel like, you know, the stagnation and all that is of the enemy, trying to hold everything back and down. But I also feel that when we all come back into the fullness of it, it's going to be different. It's not going to be like before. Whatever lack we had, we won't have. And in that sense,
yeah,
whatever was a hindrance, we'll have more resources from heaven when we get back to moving forward again.
Right, we'll be fully equipped.
And you know how I in every way. Cecilia, if as long as my heart is beating, then I lack nothing. So I have everything in me, every spiritual blessing, everything God has given me. As long as my heart is beating, then I will serve the Lord. So I lack nothing because he kept my heart beating. So he's not finished with me yet. And that is what goes for all of us. As long as our hearts are beating, we lack nothing. And we have every spiritual blessing to go share the gospel with those who have not heard it.
Amen. Amen. That's great. That's beautiful. That is great. You know, I was listening to this one song that you guys wrote. I'm not sure. I think maybe Sarah may have written this one. I'm not sure. Maybe both of you. And it's called Me Too. And that is a very beautiful song. And I thought Sarah did a good job on that song. One of you guys, tell us about that one. A little bit. How did that one come
Sarah's
about?
Sarah's going to share about that one. That is the one song on the album that we really want to share with the world. So we are just trying to get it to anyone and everyone that we possibly can. That's the most special song on the album. And so Sarah is going to speak to how she wrote that one.
Okay. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hey. Okay. So I wrote the song Me Too. I don't know if you heard of the Me Too movement that came out a few years ago, which was basically a platform for people who had been victims of sexual harassment or sexual abuse to come together, strengthen each other in numbers, and tell each other that they are not alone. When I was 18, I was a victim of date rape. And for many years, I carried around a lot of shame and guilt, thinking that what happened to me was my fault. At the time, I did tell my mom and a couple close friends, but mostly I stayed quiet for many years. I felt like no one would understand and that I just had to be alone in the pain that I felt. And then the Me Too movement came to light a few years ago, and it was a cry for victims to speak out, to give people a sense of magnitude of the problem. And suddenly I didn't feel alone anymore. And so I decided to share my story publicly on Facebook, which was the most terrifying thing I think I've ever done, the most vulnerable I had ever been, especially on a social media type platform. And when I hit post and this story was available for everyone to see, I prayed that my story would somehow help someone else, even one woman, to feel like she was not alone and could maybe find the strength to speak out also. And after 10 years of silence, I guess it's been 12 years now, I let my voice be heard and I told my story. And
is that
after
when
I
your
shared,
healing came?
Yes, it's part of my, well, truthfully, God was able to use my wonderful husband to heal a lot of that pain. So many years before I shared this publicly, I had met Russell, who was a very safe, respectful man. And I had told him before we got married about it. And he was very supportive. And so I thank God for that man. And I think a lot of my healing came from the security in our marriage. But I think sharing publicly is when it truly lost power over me. Was like,
praise the Lord,
affirmation from people who read my story saying it wasn't my fault, and having a huge group of people uplift and support me was a huge weight off my shoulders.
Right.
And then I realized that my story was helping other people, and that's when it really hit home, like, we're not alone in this, and me being vulnerable and sharing can help other people heal as well. And I had a lot of friends and family, even strangers, reaching out to support me. I received a lot of texts, personal messages from women that were on their own journeys, similar journeys to healing. And I had one close friend of mine tell me that my story gave her the courage to speak up for the very first time ever about what had happened to her. And she had been married for a couple of years. She had never told a single person about her sexual abuse, not even her husband. And she felt brave enough to tell her husband, who was able to support her through that. And I was just in awe that God was able to use me in a way like that. And I'm sure he was the one to give me the unmistakable nudge to step out and share my story publicly like that.
Yes.
Wow, that is
and
something.
The part about it that people always think that is their fault, or what did they do to cause that to happen.
Yeah,
a lot of
I
times
felt like
it's
that.
Nothing of the above. Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Yes, now I know. I know it was not my fault. But in the moment, you just feel somehow responsible that you didn't fight hard enough or say no enough times. And then the shame kind of overcomes you. You feel dirty. And
mm-hmm.
that's when you want to hide and not mm-hmm. tell anybody. And then it just kind of festers. And that's
yeah.
where the enemy wants you. He wants you in the dark and in shame.
Mm-hmm. And then some of the parents
yeah.
who tell the kids when they tell them that they have been violated, that what did you do? You know, saying
yeah.
that to a child is just traumatizing. And
it
lives
is.
With them
yeah.
for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
Because that's
thankfully,
shifting the blame.
My mother believed me, and she told me she was so sorry. So I was blessed to have a supportive parent that did not ask me if I did anything wrong, but that can be extremely
yeah.
traumatizing.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
it can. And yeah, you were blessed on that end. So
yes,
how long
it was.
After you came forward and shared your experience with everybody, when did you get into writing the song? At what point did that come in?
I think it was about 6 months later. I was inspired by the movie I Can Only Imagine, actually. That movie came out, and Russ and I watched it, and it was such a wonderful story. And in the movie, he was inspired to write the song I Can Only Imagine by kind of going back through some of his journals and the phrase that came to him most often in all of his hardship. And so I sat down and said, what's the story that I have to tell? Like, what is it that can come out of me that can help somebody else? And it was just those words, me too, in the midst of this whole platform of people speaking up. And so I wrote this song to tell others they are not alone and that we all find ourselves hurting in some way. And the words in my song are, you are not alone. I am hurting too, me too. And
mm-hmm.
when I sing that song now, I picture Jesus saying it. I picture Jesus saying,
yeah.
you are not alone. I am hurting with you. And it's such a beautiful picture. And I also picture a group of people holding hands, one hand grabbing the next hand, grabbing the next hand. Like, we are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't apply only to sexual harassment. It applies to fear and anxiety in this pandemic. It applies to depression and suicide. It applies to anxiety and it just applies to any possible hardship that you're going through. And many times we feel so isolated, like no one else can possibly understand what I'm going through. But that's a lie that the enemy tells us to keep us alone and isolated and depressed. When you reach out and tell your story, you find that there are so many people also suffering through the same things that you are, and that there is mighty power in coming together as one, and Jesus is there with us, seeing it all and encouraging us and hurting with us too.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
With the Lord. I used to work with like at least 30 or 40 women at once, and on a daily basis it could be very interesting with the moods and the attitudes and all that. And then the Lord, he started revealing to me that don't look at them, you know, for what they're doing, but he starts showing me their hearts, that they had been hurt deeply, either by a male, another man, by their fathers, and not just men, their mothers, or something happened in their lives to cause them to be, you know, irrational or ready to always chop people up or whatever. And so when I start going to them in love and treating them, not like I was trying to say they were a victim or something, but treating them in another way and understanding something happened to make them act like that. You know, they weren't really being mean girls. They were angry on the inside, and something caused them to be angry. And then, you know, start going after it like that. And then I start seeing that women, a lot of them had been abused. And through relationships or before when they were children or whatever. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at people's hearts and not their some of their actions that they do. Because sometimes we get turned off by their actions. But if we look deeper and ask the Holy Spirit to show us, show me their heart, Lord. Let me see what you see in them. Let me feel, because I know God loves everybody no matter what. You know, he does. He truly loves us. And he has good, and he has a plan for everybody. And so that's what I started asking. Let me see that person the way you see them. And you'll be surprised how many times they'll kind of break down a little bit and open up, and then you'll be able to reach them a little better instead of saying, they're mean, they're nasty, they're ugly, they're this, they're, you know, pointing a finger. Just figure out why, what happened.
That's beautiful.
You know?
Being past their pain, which is causing them to act that way, and just love them, which is giving them an opportunity to heal.
Yes.
And be surprised.
Let's play the song. Let's play Me Too. Now that we've talked about it, let's go ahead and listen. This is Me Too by Palmer Praise, which is Russell and Sarah Palmer.
Take a stand, and so silently you cried. And then you heard a whisper, you are not alone. I am here to stand with you. I am hurting too. Me too. Me. Road. stood there hand in hand, like a ripple from one stone, urging others to take a stand and say, you are not.
Beautiful. That's just nice. I really like that song. That's really nice. And
thank you.
And that's
so
you
much.
Playing piano. That's you on the piano, right?
Yeah. Yep. I've been
Sarah?
Playing piano.
And it's
yeah.
And Russell
I've
plays
been playing
guitar
piano since fourth grade.
Oh wow!
And yeah, and Russell plays guitar.
Yeah, so talented. Mm. So beautiful, and the songs, your songs have such meaning, and it's another song I was going to ask you about. It's Going to Be Better. I know that it's a story behind that. Who
yeah.
wants to dive in?
That's my song as well, that I actually wrote for a friend, so it's not about my life personally, but a very close friend of mine who was going through and has gone through a lot of hardship. And at the time that I wrote the song, she had discovered that there was a very, very low percent chance that she would ever be able to have children. And she was going through some marital struggles at the time. She felt unsupported by her husband. They had a lot of issues deep-rooted in their marriage over many years. And she was given this diagnosis of really debilitating endometriosis, which had in turn caused infertility. And so she was in this place where she just felt lost. She didn't know who she was. She felt like everything bad in the world was happening to her. And I wrote this song for her, questioning in some ways, like, is this going to get better? And trying to offer hope of our best days are always ahead of us. And Russell actually wrote a similar song, not similar, but he wrote a song about how our best days are ahead of us. And the reason being is that our best days are never meant to be on this earth. And so it's not just a grasp, hoping, you know, grasping at straws, hoping that one thing in this life is going to make us happier and we just have to hold on another week until somebody or something can make us happy again. That's maybe not the point of this life, but if our eyes are set on heaven, we can be absolutely sure that our best days are ahead of us because that's where we're headed.
Amen.
That's yes.
true. And do you have that song, Pastor T?
Yes. As a matter of fact, strange you should ask that. I have it. So let's.
I asked because I wanted to dedicate it to some people that I know are going through that are ill. And my sister Juanita and my sister Loria, I want to shout out to them, and I want them to know that better days are coming because, you know, we go through. We don't stay. We go through.
That's right. We go through. Very good. This is Palmer Praise. It's going to be better. Nice.
Yeah.
Really,
that
nice.
Was my favorite one. Yes. Beautiful.
Thank
filled
you.
Filled with hope. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a beautiful voice. Your voice was very beautiful.
I really appreciate those kind words. I know it's a mm-hmm. gift from God, so thank you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And I think that song can bring hope, especially during this pandemic, that the next
yes,
year is going to be better.
Now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get better.
It's
going
is.
To get better.
Everything is
it's going
get
to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And if not here on earth,
Amen.
We know that our hope is secure and our future is absolutely better in heaven.
Sure.
Yes.
Is.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, I'm sure. I just know that you guys are probably a blessing to each other, because I know you're certainly a blessing to Sheila and myself, and to all of our listeners. And we just, we just appreciate you guys coming on and just sharing some of your experiences, sharing your music, and your love for the Lord. I love it that you guys work as a team. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, really speaking of Sully, maybe you can tell our listeners who Sully is. What's his real name?
Sully is Russell Leon Palmer IV. He's our 2-year-old little boy. All the Russell type nicknames were taken, so we gave him the name Sully.
Okay, and then what's this? It's a little something. Why you picked that name? What was that? How did the name come about?
Oh, the end of Russell and the beginning of Leon, the middle name. Russell Leon Sully is hidden in there.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
It is.
That's cute.
You have to
That's
write
really
it out
cool.
to see it.
And it just
yeah.
suits him, too.
Yeah, but
it's a cute
there.
Little nickname for him.
Well, tell him
also,
we all said,
really...
hey.
Oh, I will. He's asleep, but we'll uh-huh. give him a little squeeze from you guys when he wakes up.
Well, listen, we still have just a little time here. I wanted to ask Russell if he would like to pray for some of our listeners. And if you have a word or so, also, Sarah, you can pray with him or after him or whatever. But I'd like for you guys to pray for our listeners that are out there. What's something that the Lord is putting in your heart for the people listening tonight? Go ahead.
God, we just want to affirm the promise that Paul gave us, that we have every spiritual blessing inside of us that you have given us. And if there's anyone out there tonight that feels that they are lacking, let them know that in Jesus they lack nothing, that they are given every spiritual blessing. And if they are alive today, and if their heart is still beating, then you are not finished with them yet. That you
yes.
still have a work
Hallelujah.
To do in them. And as Casilla said, you still have plans to prosper them, to give them a hope and a future, because you are good, God. And your goodness reigns forever. You have been so good and so faithful. And so this song that I used to sing as a kid with T. Meyer playing and Otis is that we will sing unto you a new song and let our praises fill this temple and fill wherever we are, because we know we are singing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we
yes.
bow down before you and praise your holy name, because you are good, you are kind, you are just, and you are merciful. And you, God, are the only God who would send his son to not just take on sin, but you actually, he became sin. And that one act on the cross has made us righteous and has given us the chance for eternal life. And because of that one act, God, remind everyone listening tonight that we are just passengers, that foreigners in a strange land in this world, and that our best days will always be ahead of us until we get to heaven and we're reunited with you, because this world is not our home. And so no matter what, remind us tonight that our best days are ahead of us in your kingdom with our Savior for eternity. And fill us with your Holy Spirit. And tonight we say thank you for giving us every spiritual blessing. It's already inside of us, as Paul tells us in Ephesians. So we claim those things, and we thank you for them tonight. And we thank you for your love and for your goodness and for our chance to share a little bit of our story with T. Meyer and Jasila. Thank you, God, for loving us so well. In your name, amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Sarah, you have any last-minute words? We have a couple of minutes left.
I was just thinking about what you and Jasila were saying in the beginning about perfect love and how Corinthians describes it. And I was just feeling so honored that we can have perfect love through God. Like, he has loved us so perfectly that our love can spill out for others, and what that means in our relationships and in our marriages is that the people around us don't have to earn our love. They don't have to do anything or owe us anything, that we are able to love in a way that asks for nothing in return. And that's how God has called us to love others. And when you find that in a marriage, it can really turn things around, or in friendships even. Like, my friends don't have to call me back. They don't have to show up on time for me to love them still. And my husband doesn't have to do anything for me or be perfect or make me happy for me to love him. I just love him because he's worthy of love. And that's how God loves us. And so what a privilege to be loved in by God in a way that we never have to earn it. But he just loves us so perfectly, so wholly. And we can offer that love to those around us.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're almost finished. Pastor Jasila, real quick, do you have something that you want to say to the people? Are you on mute? 30 seconds.
She's going to miss out.
Sorry. Perfect love cast out all fear. In this time we're in right now, a lot of people are fearful. But God's perfect love, lean on him, trust him. And if you don't have it, ask the Lord to put more love inside of you. None of us have it. He gives it to us all freely. So if you don't have enough to love others and even love yourself, ask the Lord for more love. And know that the people on this phone love you. And if you want to reach out, we will be praying for you. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
And thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Russell. God bless you. And Sully, we'll be praying for him, too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yes. God bless.
Bye-bye. And on that, we'll say good night, and we will see you all again next week. Praise the Lord by God's grace. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amen.